Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. Yeah. Eric, do you have something you want to say to me?
Do I?
It is my five-year work anniversary at Bravo.
That's right. Happy five-year NBC Universary.
Thank you.
It's a mouthful to say.
Yeah, put it on your calendar.
How do you feel after 5 years?
You know, I've been through a lot here.
You have.
I've seen a lot of housewives come and go.
That's true. Why don't we do a quick rose and thorn for your 5 years here at Bravo?
Okay. Rose is easily this one day. It was my first year working here. And I was working on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They had just started a new season. Lisa Vanderpump was in the office. And I introduced myself, and she's like, oh, you're the one I send my blogs to. I didn't write one, so can I dictate to you? So she sat down in a chair next to my desk, and she already had it in her phone, but instead of emailing it to me, she started to read it aloud so that I could type it out.
Oh, my God.
And then at the same time, Camille Grammer called my office phone. And I was just like,
and you're like, this is it.
Everything.
Oh, my God. That's wild. Thorn.
I think a thorn, I won't say who, but someone from Vanderpump Rules once wrote me like a super nasty email.
Is this cast member still on the show?
Yes.
All right, well, today we are going to recap Real Housewives of Potomac, Real Housewives of Orange County, and Real Housewives of Dallas is back.
It's back.
I'm so excited. Plus, we have an interview with comedian Heather McDonald, who does those really fun Barbie Housewives recreations.
And plus, you've probably seen her a million times on Real Housewives of Orange County.
Absolutely. Okay, let's go. Real Housewives of Potomac, Cayman Islands trip, part two.
Where's Katie?
Where is Katie?
Guys, have y'all seen Katie?
No.
So I just went to her room. Her door was open. Her stuff is gone.
Okay, what would you think if we went on vacay and I just didn't show up?
Well, I think it really does add up, and Karen made a very good point about how Katie probably at the end of the day really felt attacked and overwhelmed and just was like, why did I come on this trip? So if you and I had been through something like that where suddenly you were fighting with someone and I knew that there was a lot going on in your personal life, I would probably make the assumption that you jetted out. I think where Katie went wrong was not alerting production.
Yes.
And it was just, you know, there were a couple steps that I think she could have taken. She also didn't even alert her boyfriend.
Yes.
So that is a little bit scary and
just not safe.
Irresponsible. Exactly. But to Karen's point, I probably would have been like Karen and said, you know what? Everyone was attacking Megan and she probably was feeling really overwhelmed and just decided, you know what? I'm out.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand why she would do it, but it is very irresponsible, and that's a scary thing to put your friends through.
Yeah. Do you think that, like, she wanted to create an air of drama around her exit? Like, she wanted people to wonder?
Maybe a little bit.
Because why not just send Karen a text? It's like, dude, I can't do this. I'm out.
Right. I think you could have notified one person, even if it wasn't production, just let someone know, especially maybe Robin, because she's the one who kind of organized the trip. So as the sort of leader, she might be the one you'd be like, you know what? Thank you for inviting me. I'm so sorry. I have to go. There's some stuff I have to deal with at home. I do have to say, all in all, this vacation itself, I think I've found my dream vacation.
What?
The Cayman Islands.
Because?
Because stingrays, horseback riding in the ocean.
Yeah.
Caves, submarines, beach. Like, come on. It has it all. And of all the Housewives vacations I've watched, this was the one that every single event that they did, I was like, oh my God, I want to do that.
Well, you should go.
Oh, I'm going to go. I was saying it to Danny. I was like, this, I think, is my dream. And plus, they end with, like, the shots. They were taking so many shots at that last dinner, which then resulted in, you know, a little bit of drama. But
can we talk about that?
Absolutely.
Okay. I actually found myself really siding with Karen in this instance, which is, in her drunken haziness, I think she really did think she was off mic, off camera,
mm-hmm.
and was just like, no, woman to woman, like, I'm glad we're getting along, but I don't want to lie to you. Here's where I'm at with the whole Michael and these allegations.
I want to be real with you, and they're not catching this, okay? I need you to hear me out. A lot of hurt has gone on, and I do hold on. I have my opinions, and I told you that I need him to be vindicated. And dismissal is not vindication. I want to be real with you.
And I think that's fair.
100%. I totally agree. And I think Karen was trying to make the point that I do want to move forward with you. I do want our friendship to grow, but I have to be honest with you and let you know where I stand on this whole situation. Being a victim herself of assault when she was younger, and I think her point was the charges were dismissed. There was no verdict at the end of it all. So where I stand is where I stand, and I want to be able to move forward with you, but just know this is how I feel about Michael.
Yeah. I think it is a tricky situation for everyone to be in, and Ashley has to be sensitive to that.
Yeah, Ashley is definitely in a rough place still, dealing with the repercussions of these allegations, trying to get pregnant. Ashley is going through a lot, and I think at this point, almost all of the women on the show have brought it up to her, asking about Michael, what's going on with Michael. Ashley's probably a little sick of talking about it also, so I understand why now it's coming up yet again. Maybe that's just a trigger for her because she was having a good night. They were having so much fun. She thought she and Karen were really getting to this really good place, and she just received it in a way that she didn't really need to. Right. But, you know, they were all drinking. So yeah. It just like it was a trigger for her, I think. But I'm glad we saw them kind of come to a resolution the next day where they just got to have a conversation, the two of them. And Karen stood by what she said. She was like, maybe I should have presented it differently, but I need you to know that this is how I feel and it's not going to change.
And that's the definition of not being fake.
Right. Exactly.
Which is what Ashley has said that she wants from these women.
Well, I think it's also important, too, for them to be honest with Ashley. And whatever their end goal might be, is it just to show Ashley another perspective? Whatever their end goal is, who's to say? But I appreciate that, for the most part, they're being upfront with her every step of the way, just being like, this is how we feel about Michael. This is how we feel about Michael. Because I think that happens with a lot of people, friends who have spouses or partners or significant others that we don't always like. Mm-hmm. But it's really difficult to convey that to a friend because you know they're going to take it personally. How could you not take it personally? I can't imagine someone saying something to me about Danny. I would take it very personally. Who's to say? That's my favorite phrase today.
Okay. Let's work it into each conversation.
I think it'll be very easy.
Well, next week's the finale.
Ooh.
And there's a pregnancy, is she or isn't she? But, like, don't we know Ashley's pregnant?
Yeah, that was a little bit strange.
It's nice if it's positive. It's always next month if it's negative.
We know she is, and she
We've
has.
We've seen the baby.
And the baby's here. So at least we know that goes very well. What I'm most curious about is La Dame fragrance.
You're like the real baby.
Right, the question. Real baby is, what does the bottle look like? Is it a Rolly thing? What's the deal with it? So I'm excited to see what Karen has been working on, because I do trust and believe that she has a product and she will grace us all with it very shortly. Okay, Real Housewives of Orange County. We're popping back up in L.A.,
so I watched this episode a while ago, and I was most excited for people to watch this one because I think Bronwyn has been a very popular newbie this season.
Yeah.
So I wanted to see what people thought after this revelation that she kind of flat out lied to Tamara and Shannon about reaching out to Gretchen and Lizzie.
Yeah.
Because I heard you contacted Lizzie and Gretchen to talk to them.
Lizzie is best friends with my best friend that I've known for 35 years.
And Sam said, since you recently moved back here, I have these two great friends that I'm friends with, and I think you guys would get along.
I can't stop you from doing anything, but you understand what these girls have done to me? They're part of trying to take down my husband.
She was 100% caught in a lie. And I think she knew what she was doing, and that was research.
Right.
Because coming into this franchise, a very established franchise, the original Housewives, if you will, there's a lot of baggage and there's a lot of things to catch up on, whether she's watched the show or not. So I understand what she was doing, reaching out to them, but totally. Why lie?
Yeah. So like, you know, if I tomorrow was told you're going to be on Real Housewives of Orange County, the first thing I would do is like use my contacts to then reach out to people who have been through it and maybe aren't on the show anymore.
Yeah.
Just to kind of like get their feel, like, do you think this is something I should do? What was your experience like?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's like she knew in that moment when Tamara was asking her what Tamara wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And Tamara wanted to hear, no, they reach out to me. Ugh, I don't like those girls.
Yeah.
So that's what she said.
And that wasn't what happened.
That's not the truth.
Yeah, no, it is interesting because we have seen a lot of reaction from Bronwyn. But one lie, can that ruin your whole career? With this particular instance, it may ruin her trust with Shannon and Tamara and all of that. But we know that they get past it because we spoke to Tamara a couple weeks ago and she said, oh, yeah, we're still very close. We still get along really well. So I think they also had the moment later on in the episode. They took the dance class together. They got to sit down. They got to talk to Bronwyn a little bit more about her life and her upbringing. And I do love when they have those moments where they've had a fight, someone's lied, someone's been caught in a lie, and then they sit down and, you know, it becomes this, well, you know, growing up, my mom was never really around. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh, damn, like we're laying out the baggage now over one small white lie that we got caught in, you know?
And is that really why?
No, it's definitely not.
Like, I think we're all inherently people pleasers.
Right. And I think when Bronwyn sits down with Dr. Deb, who gets her first interview of the season, which I really appreciated, she kind of talks a little bit about always wanting to be the fun one, always wanting to be the one that everyone likes, and when you're around, making people laugh. And I kind of understood that, and that resonated with me in a lot of ways.
It's very easy for me to have superficial relationships. Easy to be the funny one, or for me, like, the crazy one. Those are easier than just being yourself.
So I started to think, like, have I ever just told, like, a white lie just because I wanted to come across as likable or something?
I've feel told like, a million white lies.
Exactly. I was trying to think of a particular instance where I've, like, stretched the truth or not revealed the whole truth just to ensure that somebody likes me. And I've probably done it on this podcast. You know what I mean? Like,
right. It's called being agreeable.
Right.
No, I think the instance I do it the most is when someone, you know those arguments where you're just like, I don't have a dog in this fight. Mm-hmm. So someone will be like, oh. And then she said this, can you believe? And I'm like, ugh, that bitch. And inside I'm like, I don't really think it was that egregious what's happened here.
Yeah.
But like, I want to be supportive.
Right. And I don't want to get into it with this
exactly.
person. Exactly. Yeah. No, I agree. That makes a lot of sense.
That said, Eric, I always fully support anyone you don't like.
Thank you so much. Another thing I have to say is, wow, Shane, wow.
How'd you do today?
I did fine.
I know, but you need to tell me more, like, how you feel.
I feel ready for dinner.
Okay.
I don't want to jinx anything, that's all. So how was your day?
No, I want to talk about you.
How
no,
was your
I...
day when you came out? And
I'm asking about you.
How'd you feel about it all?
I do understand, right after taking the bar, not wanting to discuss it. It's almost like coming home at the end of the day and when you walk in the door and your partner's like, how was your day? And you're like, I am not ready to reflect yet. It's too close to me. Like, give me a moment. I understand that. But why not use your words and express that to Emily, who's trying so hard to just reconnect after they spent a week apart?
Right.
She's just trying to reestablish the norm.
Well, and what you just described, honestly, I would say 3 to 4 days out of the week describes Aaron and I's interaction, which is I come home and he's already been there. He's had time to chill and like I'll walk in and he's like, how is your day? And I'm like, I need you to not talk to me for a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, say that at least, Shane.
Right.
Or say it in a nicer way.
Exactly. All he was concerned about was, I'm hungry. Well, I'm hungry. I'd like to eat.
It's that
you can watch me eat.
Sarcastic, smirky attitude of his.
Yeah.
When it's just like, what you should be saying is, thank you for allowing me the time to go off and study and you hold down the house and the kids. And I'm going to kiss you and I should cook for you. And yeah.
He did try to turn the conversation to her. He kept being like, well, tell me about you. Let's talk about you. But the way he was totally disregarding her interest in yeah. how he was feeling and what he was experiencing was really inconsiderate. And some of the, like, the tone that he had and the things he was saying, I've heard myself do that to Danny before. That whole interaction really made me step back and think about how I handle situations in my relationship. So I kind of appreciated that. But then I just, like, every episode this season, I just feel worse and worse for Emily.
I agree. And I hope Emily watches this and feels worse and worse for Emily.
Speaking of Emily also, what I thought was kind of interesting is when this whole thing comes out about Gina, the warrant for her arrest is out, and Tamara and Shannon are FaceTiming talking about it like, oh my God. They really drag, I think Shannon is the one to bring it up first, they drag Emily into it as like, as an attorney, why isn't she there helping Gina through this? Or why didn't she offer to represent Gina? What does Emily have to do with any of this?
Right.
You know, why bring her into it? It doesn't really make any sense.
Right.
It's not her fault that Gina's going through this. And if you don't realize, Emily has a lot on her plate right now.
That's
so maybe
the thing.
Taking on a DUI case for a personal friend isn't the best thing for her.
And is that even her area of expertise?
Right. There are many kinds of lawyers
yeah.
who deal with a lot of different things, and she may not be able to help Gina. And it could be a conflict of interest in some cases, right?
Phaedra represented someone in Real Housewives of Atlanta. Oh, Sheree. Oh. And it did not go well.
No, that's
they
like,
lost.
Mm-mm. The other thing I am happy to see that I will say with everything Gina's going through is the friendship she's building with Shannon. And we saw them not get along very well last season. And they're really coming together over this divorce affair. I think they're really finding out how much they have in common. And the advice that Shannon gives Gina towards the end of the episode about just being like, you're going to find happiness again. You're going to find strength again. Just know that, because I didn't think I would be able to go through that. Because I think we're really seeing Gina deal with the repercussions of what happened last year tenfold. You know, we really weren't exposed to what she was actually going through last season. And now it's like all there and it's all out.
I was just talking to a friend about this, how it sucks when you've yourself like gone through a painful breakup or something, and then you're watching someone else do it. And like the worst part is knowing you have to go through this pain for a long time.
Yeah,
and
that's
like,
true.
I can help distract you, but at the end of the day, you're probably going to be crying yourself to sleep for a very long time. Like, that sucks. And so it's nice that Shannon can recognize that and Gina and be like, this is going to be really fucking mm-hmm. hard for you. Let me see if I can alleviate it in any way.
Right. Yeah, it's true. We didn't get any Vicky this episode.
Right.
But we did get a reference to the train situation again.
Choo-choo.
We did see Kelly dealing with it, expressing it to Dr. Brian about, here's what I'm going through, and he was able to calm her down, or at least talk her through it.
So anyways, Bronwyn called me to tell me that Vicky is spreading this vicious rumor about me.
Which is?
That I did a train.
Did a train?
Yeah, of like dudes or something.
Sexually.
What I'm curious about is, will we see this confrontation between Kelly and Vicky?
Oh, absolutely.
When will it come?
I don't think we're waiting that long, though.
Okay, good. But it also, I do want to address that it was Tamara who brought it up at dinner. So I hope that gets addressed as well. We shall see. Who's to say?
Who's? Also, every time we talk about the train rumor, should we have a sound effect? Like a very...
Like Thomas the Tank Engine. Yeah. I don't know if we have the rights to that, but we should check.
Or just something like an all aboard. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
A Harry Potter.
Like. Or we could, if we want to just create our own, bring in a train whistle.
Oh, yeah.
Those wooden ones.
Yeah, where do you get those? Yeah. We'll find one.
Sarah, I'll find it.
Real Housewives of Dallas is back. I'm thrilled.
You love Dallas.
I love Dallas so much. It was one of the first franchises that I felt like I really took on and owned myself as like, I love this.
Yeah.
And it's so new and it's so special. And I feel like I got to really grow with it.
Mm.
And I love Leanne. I will say, I do think she went blonde after Deandra.
Yeah, I want to know what the timeline of that was.
I do remember someone saying something about it when it happened. But you know what? Actually, I think Deandra might have done it after Leanne.
All I know is I prefer both of them with the darker.
I do too.
Yeah.
I do too.
But, you know.
To each his own.
Right. And someone once said something that was like, why does there have to be a prettiest or best or most flattering color? Just wear every color you want to wear.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, I do think Leanne looks fantastic with the dark, dark raven hair.
Mm-hmm.
And so does Deandra. I mean, I think they can get away with being blonde.
Right.
You know, but I prefer it the other way.
Yes.
I think Leanne had a big missed opportunity not making her wedding circus themed.
I know.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you could still make it classy.
Maybe like she'll do like a, because I don't know. I haven't really been keeping up with the real time stuff.
Yeah.
But maybe like there was a bridal shower or something that was circus themed.
Oh, that's true. That could have been. Yeah. There was also kind of what she was saying, two parts to the wedding where it was like traditional ceremony and then like fun after party. So I thought maybe the fun after party would be like really leaning into her circus upbringing.
Yeah.
But maybe that didn't like fly with Rich. I don't know.
Well, I mean, we're very far from that wedding.
Right, right.
We're just in the throes of the planning right now.
Well, yeah, but it's only, what, 7 weeks away, she says in the episode. I'm like, you haven't worked out these budgets yet? They're talking about like how much all of this stuff is going to cost. I'm like, 7 weeks out, you should have this planned.
So, you know, at the beginning of this episode, like we're kind of catching up with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about Brandy.
Okay.
I make no secret that Aaron and I don't plan on having children.
Yeah.
And I feel like Brandy's family situation with her daughter reinforces that notion for me.
That was very much like, yep, there you go. That's why.
I mean, because don't get me wrong, I love to hold a warm baby. They feel so nice against my body.
Yeah, right.
But when they get to a certain age,
mm-hmm.
what monsters?
Brooklyn is not treating her mother very nicely. And we were kind of just discussing it a little bit, and Sarah, our producer, brought up a good point from her nannying days that when the new baby shows up in a family situation, the older kids can often get a little aggressive because they feel like the mom is taking attention away from them for the new baby.
Right.
That being said, you need to discipline your kids when they're acting like that. But, you know, everyone parents their own way.
You know who is a really good disciplinarian?
Who?
My mother. She put the fear of God in me with a single look.
Literally.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't misbehave much as a child. And so I didn't have... Megan just gave a serious eye roll.
Because I'm just like, as the only child, you probably were led to believe that you, like,
that's
never
true.
Misbehaved.
That's very true. I mean, my grandmother, like, spoiled me. You know, I just definitely... I think my mom was more the disciplinarian as well, but she didn't have to as much. But I definitely didn't behave the way we're seeing Brooklyn behave.
I mean, just... to like make fun of the way your mom looks.
I know. I feel bad for Brandy.
I mean, the sassiness too is just like, whoa.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Are you making yourself look like a clown?
Yeah, no, I'm making myself look like you.
That being
said, like, I never said that you embarrassed me, but you embarrassed yourself.
I know.
What?
I feel like maybe Brooklyn has been watching too much Housewives
maybe.
In the time off. Bruin
is just a doll.
He is growing up to be a fine young gentleman. At 1 year old. Okay, we have to talk about Shady Mama D.
Ooh, you're calling her Shady?
Shady Mama D for turning the company over to Deandra at a time when it was practically falling apart.
When I met with Esther, you know, the other day, I said to her, is it something I did that this company is going in the trajectory it is? And she said, absolutely not. It was already there.
I mean, my God, this is like plucked from the show Succession on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
Like, very similar situation happening. Yeah. What the hell, Mama D?
I was thinking it was very Shakespearean. So it's funny that you compare it to that. Like, I feel like this would be a storyline and something that was adapted from a Shakespeare play. Like, the kingdom is in ruin and the king can no longer lead. So he passes it down. You know, it just... after all Deandra has done to get to this point, and now she's given the company when she's going to have to make a lot of tough decisions just to keep it afloat. Going. Yeah. And that includes taking some money away from Mama D.
Which, by the way, you know, I get it because you have the mom-daughter situation. But, like, in any other circumstance, it'd be like, you're not getting a salary. Especially yeah. now that we understand what, you know.
I don't think Deandra is as ruthless as perhaps Mama D is. It's always suspicious to me when someone reiterates multiple times how much money they have and how they don't have to be worried and all of that. So when I heard Mama D saying that to Deandra, because Deandra was uncomfortable having that conversation of being like, I need to cut some of your salary to save this business. Is that okay? Mama D was like, oh, well, I knew you were going to ask that because I have enough money. We have enough money. Don't even worry about my money. It's fine. Like, I'm sort of like, well, that's worrisome because you just handed over a company that isn't doing very well.
I don't need those paid. I've got plenty of money. Do you understand me?
See, I took it more as a, like, to show face and to not.
Right. She was trying to put on the, we're good no matter what happens. Like, yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine. But also, you know, Deandra wants to leave behind a legacy, too. And. I feel bad that she's in this kind of difficult situation.
Yeah. It's interesting because I feel like one of the reasons Deandra was chosen to be a Real Housewife of Dallas is because she is, you know, from this very wealthy Dallas family. And it's interesting that, like, now she's on the show and it's like she herself is going to have to be taking major pay cuts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah. No, I do. Yeah, I think that is really interesting. What I thought was funny is that one of the things that affected the business so much was pulling their ads from the Christian network. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. I wanted to know more about that. Like,
well,
why
not just go back to the Christian infomercials?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder what that move was about.
But it also really informs Mama D's look.
Oh yeah, very Tammy Faye Baker. Yeah, absolutely. It all kind of clicked for me when I heard that. I was like, okay, that's their business model, that's their target audience, that's their demo, that's why Mama D looks that way. It all adds up.
Yeah.
Okay, Stephanie, her interview look is amazing.
She looks good.
She looks fantastic.
I also kind of love that Travis, her husband, is going through this midlife crisis
totally.
Right now.
And he's kind of owning it and just being like, yeah, I'm going to go skydiving.
But like even his hair is growing out longer. Like it just, yeah.
Yeah. And on the show right now, he looks really good. In her recent Instagram photos, he could use a haircut. And Travis is, from what we heard about growing the company from $6.8 million in sales in a year to $75 million in that short amount of time. Like Travis is a hustler. He's a businessman. Like, go after what you need to go after, Travis, but please cut your hair.
Okay, I want to talk about this continued Leanne and Deandra drama
mm-hmm.
because now it's spilled over to the men.
That is wild.
Yes.
Wild. It's weird to think that after the reunion last season, they apologized, they seemed to want to make amends, but then 3 months went by and they didn't really talk at all.
I felt it, though, at that reunion because I was there watching it and I just remember thinking this just feels like empty words. Like, there's no way these two are going to actually.
Yeah.
They were just too angry.
Right. And so the big thing that they held on to was Deandra making claims that Rich cheated on Leanne.
Yes.
And then Deandra was upset because Leanne claimed she only had $200 in her bank account.
Right. Well, which, by the way, would you be more offended by?
The cheating rumors, I think, are more hurtful. I think the $200 in a bank account, the way Deandra defended that, or maybe it was Cameron said it last season, was like, maybe that's just the $200 in her Starbucks account. Like, I don't know. And I was sort of like, that is true. There are multiple people who, with that amount of money have I have multiple accounts. But
I think it is. It's also easier to prove that that's not true versus cheating. How do you prove that? You know?
Well, that's true. Yeah. And then speaking of cheating, Rich decides to blast off a text to Jeremy about Jessica.
Rich sent some text message to my husband about some bullshit cheating scandal that he didn't know what he was talking about. And this is how it read. I'm going to tell Deandra all about pretty Jessica. She's everything Deandra isn't. I didn't want to, bro, because I usually have discretion. But I will not tolerate the baseless BS that your wife is spewing about me. Exclamation mark. Rich.
Of course it's Jessica.
And I love that Deandra also like ran through a bunch of other women's names. Like, it could be, you know, he's not with a Mary. He's not with a Jessica. He's not with any of them. But where did this come from?
Okay, but like, can you imagine if you and I got in an argument? Do you think Aaron and Danny would be like angry texting each other?
I think Danny maybe. I think Aaron would be the like, I'm not getting involved in this. Totally. Like, he would step back, but you know, like Danny might. It's like just the gays, we like to be bitchy
Danny
and crazy.
Danny would be like, oh, I know about Cassandra.
Danny has watched too many Housewives to not get involved in the drama. But it is crazy when it spills over to the husbands like that.
Yeah.
And it's wild to make that kind of accusation right back and then bringing a particular person into it. Like, that's getting pretty messy at that point. So who's Jessica? Where is she?
Yeah.
Are we going to meet her? Did Rich and Jeremy have a friendship? They did, right? Outside of this,
I mean,
this
they
or
must
no?
have just because, like, their wives are best friends.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a little reminiscent of, like, when Harry Hamlin confronted Kyle on Runyon Canyon about the bunny situation on Beverly Hills. But that, at least, wasn't really as horrible of an accusation. Or it was just Harry defending Lisa.
Yeah.
But yikes.
What do you think about new housewife Carrie?
I love her so far. I think she's really funny. I love that she has that accent. I think that's a really fun characteristic and something we haven't really seen in a housewife before. I love her very terrible curfew negotiation skills with her daughter.
Right.
She was like 10 o'clock and her daughter's like midnight. And she's like 10:30. And she's like, no. And then she's like, all right, 11. You know, like, what? 10:45. Like, you need to learn how to negotiate.
Right.
Can you not go to the party later?
I have a curfew on school nights of 10 o'clock. If you want to push it to 12 o'clock, then I'd be more than happy to go later.
I mean, I guess you can stay out till 10:30.
12.
No, 11. You have school tomorrow.
It's not fair.
But so far, I like her. What do you think?
Can I say I'm a little worried about her marriage already?
Oh, interesting.
Just because, first of all, first season housewives marriages sometimes, you know, I'm thinking about Shannon Bedore, her first season, Tamara and Simon early on. Like, I just, the fact that we're already hearing complaints about the marriage.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that about, you know, the sex life changes when we're married.
And maybe it was on the next on too.
Yeah.
That I feel like something was said about it, and I was like, ooh.
Well, one thing I will say, though, is that it is both of their second marriages. They both were divorced in the past. So maybe some of the stuff that we have seen with first season housewives in the past, you know, that has been their first major relationship or major, you know, marriage. So who knows? Maybe they got through a lot of that already, and we'll see. But who's to say?
Oh my God, kill me.
So our producer Sarah got the chance to talk to comedian Heather McDonald, and she spoke about the origin of her obsession with Bravo, how she started the Barbie Real Housewives reenactments, and how the movie Pretty in Pink and Southern Charm are basically the same thing. Plus, she makes some great predictions about Stassi's wedding. Let's take a listen.
So I'm so excited to introduce comedian and reality television show guru, Heather McDonald. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thanks for coming on. So we're going to, you know, rewind back a few years and kind of get to the root of your obsession with Bravo. When did you first fall in love with Bravo?
I first fell in love with Bravo during one of the greatest reality shows that I've ever seen the light of day, and it's called Showbiz Moms and Dads.
Yes.
And it was amazing. And I grew up in LA, in Woodland Hills. I had an agent as a child. My sister's kids had agents. And so we were, you know, always around the business. And so to watch the show that followed like five different families, one being a pageant girl before Honey Boo Boo, and then there were a couple other kids that came out to LA for what was pilot season, which doesn't, it really isn't what it is today, because today people buy shows and cast shows throughout the years with all the streaming networks. But there was a specific time of year, which was like February, March, April, that people would take their kid out of school, come here, live in these Oakwood pre-furnished apartments near Burbank and the studios, and hope that their kid gets a pilot. And the World of Wonder production company, which the brilliance of them, followed these people. And it was really like before, they got real raw people being ridiculous without trying. You know, now sometimes I think the genre has changed so much. I think sometimes when someone's cast in something, they have so much previous knowledge of watching reality shows themselves that sometimes they can't help but like produce themselves or overreact for the camera. This was like so raw. And then the way it was shot, I mean, it almost felt like, do you remember the Christopher Guest document, like Mockumentary Mentoring Movies, like the show dogs and stuff?
Yeah, those are amazing.
That's the way it looked. It almost seemed like it was a parody, but it was real. And I was just obsessed with it. I just thought it was like the funniest, most clever, like juicy thing I'd ever seen in my life.
That's amazing. The fact that you like pick the OG Bravo show, that is legendary.
Well, yeah, so Bravo was always on my, you know, TV from like way back when I was like, you know, my kids were babies. And so that was my favorite show. I didn't really watch like Inside the Actor's Studio, which I think was one of their first like staples. It was more, that was the show that I was interested in. So then, yes, when I heard about The Real Housewives of OC, again, I remember where I was, like the way older people like remember where they were when Kennedy was shot. I remember I was like at a grocery store and I was looking in like a Star magazine, and it was a promo for this show called The Real Housewives of Orange County. And I remember thinking, this is so brilliant. This is clearly like a takeoff of Desperate Housewives. And this is so clever to use real people. Like, I can't wait to watch this.
Yeah, no, totally. And now, I mean, like, I'm completely obsessed with these, but you're Barbie Real Housewives skits, how did that all kind of start?
Well, I was just, it was like 6 or 7 months ago, and I was just like, walked down the trail because I had to get something for a little girl. And I was like, and it just like dawned on me how so many of the Barbies kind of look like the Housewives. Beverly Hills, I think, was the first one I did. And then it just became so fun, like trying to do their hair, and I could always do their voices and stuff, but then the actual like reenacting an entire scene was kind of like the first time I've ever put myself as a director, like through all my years of working television, I've never really directed. And then all of a sudden, you know, my assistant, who's really more like a producer too, then, you know, she would help edit it and put it together, but to be like, okay, now shoot from behind this one doll's head so we get a good angle. And then like, we even got out like the ring light so that like the girls look especially attractive. And you know, there'd be little things that we'd be doing where we'd be like filming something by the pool, and there'd be a moment where I'd be like, wait a minute, they don't have sunscreen on. Like, I'd forget that they were like dolls. and it really made me happy how happy it made other people. And then I tried not to make them dirty because so many people said that their kids would watch them. So I tried to like not do any F-bombs or anything like that. And so I kind of made it more universal. And actually this one girl came up to me after a live show and she said she's a special ed teacher, and if everybody's good, they are like, we want to watch the Barbie video. So like, aww, that makes me so happy because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is like something fun that a mom and a girl can use. And then a juicy scooper is what I call my listeners in my podcast, reached out and started to send me items. The first was a lovely Lisa Rinna duster in a leopard print. She just sent it to me out of the blue. And then I was like, oh my God. And then I said, well, you know, then we started communicating and I was like, well, I definitely want to do the reunion. And this way you have a little more time to make them, like go on their Instagram, see what they're wearing to the reunion. And so to get the reunion outfits for both New York and Beverly Hills was really fun. And what was great is that the housewives themselves really liked them, more so, some more than others. Some were just, you know, always retweeting, reposting and loving it. But I kind of liked that it was something fun that I could do that would that I knew would that no one would be offended by, you know, and nobody right. was. Like yeah. all the cast members loved it and were flattered by it, which is exactly what I wanted. So for me, it was really fun, and we're gonna keep doing them. They are a lot of work, but I'm guilted into doing them. Like people are like, it's been 3 weeks, and so I think I might do like classic scenes next, like. You know, like
Scary Island,
maybe flipping the yeah, very, yeah, Scary Island, flipping the table, like that kind of might be sort of fun because then I'm not so dependent on like getting it out by a certain time.
Or, right.
But I am gonna do. I definitely want to do Dallas because I've never yes. done Dallas, and I think those girls are really fun. I have a redhead ready to go. I mean, you know, they'll be fun to do. Leanne's really fun, so. I think I'll probably do a couple of theirs, you know. But yes, that's been fun. Did you see my other video that I did yesterday where
yes.
I'm a housewives consultant?
Hilarious. And I was actually going to bring it up because, you know, there's so many new housewives that come onto the show each season. We're probably going to see a few more new ones, especially with like Dallas coming up and being the housewife consultant. What would you say to someone that's new on the show to kind of like live their housewife realness, if you will?
The main thing is I definitely don't think you should be the one that repeats what was told to you at the like if you go to a dinner and an OG tells you that, you know, another housewife had this happen to her, even if you saw it on the show before, whatever, you have to act like no, you don't tell it.
Recently you were saying about how you had Shep on your podcast Juicy Scoop. And I know before you were comparing Southern Charm to Pretty in Pink. Can you elaborate a little bit more for our listeners just so they kind of get filled in a bit as to the comparison? Because it's fascinating and it's so true.
Because when something like this happens, it's like I feel like I'm writing like a creative essay for high school or college. And I get really excited because I, you know, when you have to write those 5-paragraph essays where you like compare two books together and whatever. So I'm watching it and I'm like, why is something, it's like coming, it's like something is so familiar about the fact that Shep is so angry about Madison and Austin's relationship. Like, what do you care if he cheated and she cheated and they're together? Like, why do you care? Like, it was so weird. And then I just remembered the movie Pretty in Pink, which was Molly Ringwald and James Spader and Andrew McCarthy. So Molly Ringwald was poor, but went to the same high school. Even though she wasn't poor, she had her own room and, you know, was doing fine in life and had a house. But she, you know, considered poor to the mansion kids. And James Spader is like 16 wearing like a linen leisure suit to his junior year of high school, walking around. and Andrew McCarthy drives a BMW. And anyway, Andrew McCarthy likes her. We don't really know why he likes her. Like, her outfits are horrible. I mean, I don't get it, but he likes her.
She's different.
She's different. And then he asks her out, and he really likes her. And then James Spader, like, just gets in Andrew McCarthy's head and was like, you can't take her to the prom. You have to cancel on her. And he starts ghosting her, and then, you know, she just gets really pissed. And then Andrew McCarthy then confronts James Spader, and he's like, why did you make me do this? It's because you liked her. You knew she had something, but she wanted nothing to do with you. And that's when I made the comparison and was just, like, shaking.
It's ingenious.
So, yes, because so yeah, it's funny because when we posted it, Madison like wrote and was like, but wait, wasn't her character like a loser? I'm like, no, she wasn't a loser. She made her own prom dress.
She was cool.
Creative.
She worked in a record store. She was different.
Exactly.
Come on. Are there any other Bravo shows, I guess you could compare to like a John Hughes film? I mean, right off the bat, I feel like Breakfast Club could be any of the housewives.
Oh, The Breakfast Club. Oh, my God. I don't know. I'll start to think about it. Maybe a St. Almost Fire. Oh, my God. Yes, I'm going to do that now. I'm going to do a Southern Charm with St. Almost Fire because I actually just saw the movie on a plane recently.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But, like, those kind of movies, I feel like, give us such high expectations of what it's going to be like in your 20s or, like, at least, like, younger years, you know, growing up and watching these movies of, like, I'm going to have a car in high school. No, I was still riding the bus.
Yeah.
Like, still a loser, sitting in the back
really
of us.
It's really weird when you see a movie like that and you're young when you see it. And then, like, then you watch it again and you're like, much older than these characters, and you're just like, oh my God, this is so ridiculous. But when I found at 14, I was like, this is amazing.
We recently had Austin on the podcast, and he described Madison as his own personal brand of heroine, and say, like, there's an upcoming season, God willing, of Southern Charm. Do you think that Austin and Madison will ever get over each other?
You know, it'd be interesting to see them, like, really try to be a couple, like, where he really does spend time with her child. Because, obviously, they're attracted to each other, which is very, very important. But it would be cool to see her, you know, be a bigger part of the show and possibly see if they could make this real relationship work. But I hope that they continue to show the Madison. Did you see my Austin Barbie?
Yeah, I did. I did. It's perfect.
It's crazy. They found it's an off brand that they found at a thrift store. That's why it's just weird that he looks so much like Austin.
I mean, Austin already looks like a Barbie doll. Like, he's so perfect. So,
yeah.
I mean, the fact that you found one that is literally his twin is even better. So, I want to do a rapid round of Bravo predictions for you.
Great.
So, Ramona has been very Hampton-centric this whole summer. With the seasons changing, what do you think she'll post in the fall and winter?
Oh, my God. What was she? I mean, I think she'll still hit the Hamptons because I think the fall will be like a fun, like, pumpkin patch type of shoot.
Mm.
Maybe she'll do some Ramona pumpkin dishes.
Ooh.
You know what I really kind of like? I really kind of like just getting with a great squash board and doing something like she's got a pumpkin freak. Yeah, I think she'll still dance. So maybe inside dancing.
With a sweater.
I think she'll still dance.
Sweater weather is
better.
It's going
to be hard for her. That's going to be a big adjustment. She's really enjoyed her summer.
She
really
is.
Has.
She's living it up. Predictions for Stassi's wedding.
Well, I think it will be definitely a huge deal. It'll definitely be on the show. All the girls will be bridesmaids. So I see it like someplace really, really nice. I mean, probably I would think it's like maybe like on a cliff overlooking the ocean, not Ooh. On the sand, but somewhat beachy.
Do we think that Kristen's finally going to get the maid of honor title?
She could make Kristen the maid and Katie the matron.
Ooh.
So that would be a very easy way to do it. And I think, and they're the witches of Eastwick or whatever they are. They have witches of Weehawken with their alcohol. So that's what she should do. That's what she's going to do. Maid and matron.
I like that.
And then the rest of the girls will be the bridesmaids.
So let's talk Juicy Scoop. What's coming up next on your show?
Well, I've had some great interviews this past month. I just had Alexis Nyers on, who was a star of Pretty Wild, which there's a lot of connections there because when I was at Chelsea lately, our same producers were doing that show, and really was really interesting and great to talk to. That one came out today. I had Kim Goldman on, who is Ron Goldman's sister, from the OJ trial, and I've been wanting to talk to her for years, so I loved that. And then I always have like my comedians on. I just had Sarah Colonna on, who's a comedian. I have had, you know, I've got juicy people coming up. I like to have like comedians and reality stars, and then sometimes just like a human interest type story, but mostly just comedians and reality stars is who I have. So yeah, I've got some people lined up. Hopefully I'll have some of the Dallas girls come back on. So it keeps going. Every time I think I've run out of ideas or people, somehow it seems to keep working out. So thank goodness.
So
and then
where
I do my live shows, so my stand-up shows, which is, you know, if you like the podcast, you'll love my stand-up. But also if you're not familiar with my podcast, my stand-up is really, really relatable and funny, and you can bring your husband or your coworker, your mother or whatever. And I just taped my second special, which we're editing, and I'm really excited for that because as much as I love all this stuff, I'm grateful that I have the outlet of like traditional stand-up to perform and where I, you know, just need myself and my creativity, and I love doing stand-up. So it's really fun. And then usually for the meet and greets or whatever, then people can ask me anything about guests or whatever. So I have lots of those. And that's all at heathermcdonald.net. My next weekend coming up is Tempe and then Atlanta in September. So
I could talk to you forever. So thank you so much for getting a little Bravo geeky with me.
Awesome.
All right, Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Yeah, Rose and Thorn. My Rose is the announcement of the two new housewives on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, but in particular, Garcelle Bouvet, who was the first black housewife on Beverly Hills.
Right.
She's beautiful. She's established.
An actress.
An actress. I'm just excited that we have a little bit of diversity in the franchise.
Yeah, totally.
What was your Rose?
Okay, my Rose is Kate Chastain came out with us the other night.
Yes, she did.
I mean, I hope Kate doesn't mind that I'm sharing this
I doubt
information.
It. She'll probably be thrilled.
Yeah, but she helped us celebrate a coworker's birthday, and she's cool.
Yeah, we had a great
time. Cool girl.
Thanks, Kate.
My Thorn was from Below Deck Med, and it was Travis once again getting just hammered to the point where Chef Ben is having to carry him out.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to actually blowing off some steam and familiarizing myself with my new crew.
All right, you're fine.
But apparently I'm their bloody babysitter.
Let's go, come on, Travis.
Okay, let's go.
Get in there, you bastard. All right, now lay down.
I just worry about him.
I know. It's not a good look from the outside. And hopefully he's learning that. My Thorn is also from Below Deck Med, and it has to do with Travis, and it was giving that love letter to one of the charter guests.
We're not allowed to fraternize with the guests on board the boat, so I've decided let's fraternize off the boat.
Why don't you just go and give it to her now, Lee?
It's funny, I had to do it on the end.
On the handshake?
Yeah.
Nice one.
Because I feel like that's crossing some, like, professional boundaries a bit. Like, was it romantic or was it weird to
right.
you? You know, like, it's, I think it's...
Yeah.
I think the thought was there, but it just didn't land for me.
Okay. Fair. Yeah. Next week, we'll be talking to Stephanie Holman and Carrie Brittingham from Real Housewives of Dallas. Woo! 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine, and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy, miss me, kiss.